Hello everyone, Nicholas here. I just wanted to take the time to A, thank you for being a loyal listener of the Our Time show, and to B, let you know that we didn't record this week because we were busy celebrating Thanksgiving. We usually record on Fridays, but this week we were all in turkey coma. Instead, what we're doing is rerunning our interview with John Gruber from earlier this year in case you missed it. Thank you very much, and we'll see you next week.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to the Our Time podcast, the podcast for Watch Geeks by Watch Geeks. I'm John Biggs.
I'm Victor Marks.
And I'm Nicholas De Leon.
And today on the show, we may have a special guest. I don't know if we're going to have it. Am I talking out of turn, lads?
We'll see if it happens. We don't know.
We'll see if it happens. What are our topics today? We're talking a little bit about Apple Watch. Do we love our Apple Watches? We're also going to talk a little bit about Rolex, how they're faking their numbers. And we're also going to talk about what we're wearing right now. What are we wearing right now?
I am glad you asked. I have the O&W C1000. It's a 1,000-meter carabin-style dive watch thing. And it is awesome. It's powered by the 2824 movement.
So I'm actually really pleased with Oleg and Weiss. So I saw that. I posted that thing today about the what was it called? The 350
CI. Yeah.
Yeah. And I really like that little piece. I hadn't looked at Oleg and Weiss for a long time, just because it never came up, I guess. But I think it's an interesting piece.
So they were dormant kind of as a brand for a long time. Weiss was still around, and then he passed on. But before he did, he sold it to a collector who really loved the watches.
Mm-hmm.
And that collector has brought it back as a brand.
Hmm. Yeah, I like what they did with the minute hand has that kind of like, it's like almost like interrupted loom. So it looks kind of like a jet landing pad, landing strip or something like that. You know what I mean?
Right. It's that, are they squares or rectangles on that one?
It looks like little rectangles. I don't know.
Yeah. But they're segments.
Yeah. Which is unusual, which is fun. What's your Oleg and Weiss experience, Nicholas?
It is minimal, de minimis. It is
de minimis.
I have on everyone's favorite Casio. I've got on some earth tone colors today, so I figured my gray Casio fits. And I also, if I may, I have some follow-up from a previous episode. Victor, do you remember a few weeks ago we were looking at the Hodinkee Edition Oris, whatchamacallit, and we were looking at the photography. We were like, that looks like film. Is that film? And we did that for like several minutes. I had not have confirmation from sources within Hodinkee, people familiar with the matter, that indeed, at least some of those photos were shot on film, and the video is Super 8.
Is it really?
So yes, it is. That is from someone who would know. I cannot reveal any further.
I have not shot Super 8 film in 24 years.
I don't even know what Super 8 is, to be honest. I looked it up.
No, really?
Super 8's a really thin, it's like a really thin film. It's what was popular back in the old days. What's going on here?
I think it's slightly, oh yeah, John, you have no idea what we're talking about. Okay, so Hodinkee.
Hodinkee made this limited edition with Oris, and they did a Diver 65 with a green dial and the Caliber 400, which is Oris's super 10-year movement, and they spruced it up. They did a nice job.
Yeah, we were, the watch was fine. We didn't mind it, but a lot of the photography were like, oh, that looks kind of cool. So I pinged someone over there. And a few weeks later, we now have confirmation. Some of these, I don't know which ones, shot on film, and the video is Super 8. So there you go. So the folks listening who've stuck through, you have an answer.
I wasn't aware you can still get Super 8 developed. That's wild.
So I'm wearing my old Seamaster GMT, Seamaster Chrono GMT, just for informational purposes, but. I'm really angry. It's really frustrating. I'm looking at it for the first time in a long time. This isn't even a freaking watch site anymore. This is just a store.
What Omega have done?
No, Hodinkee.
Oh, Hodinkee. Yeah, Hodinkee's a store.
Hodinkee's.
They leaned into retail or whatever. Yeah, I don't know.
So how do you maintain a journalistic integrity while running a store? I don't know.
You don't.
I don't know.
Or you just do it separately, but also sell these fancy things. And, you know, as long as the articles don't push the things you're selling too much, maybe it's still kind of integrity there. I'm not sure.
I don't think there is. I don't think integrity exists in this case. I think it's very, okay. It's very, very dangerous. I think it's a slippery slope. Well, but again, absolutely. I mean, who cares? Ultimately, that's the audience that we're selling to has completely given up on media. Hold on. Sorry. I'm going to go off on a tangent and then you guys can take the rest of the show after I splutter out.
Sure.
The audience has gone completely given up on paying for media. So by all means, absolutely. I want to sell everything, the whole thing. Oh, it's the kit and caboodle. Give me a website that purports to give me the news about the industry, just purports to cover the industry in some accurate and intelligent way, yet still sells the same watches for the industry itself and makes money off those watches. So biddy bop, biddy boo, we're done. It's over. Good luck, human beings. Cause people are going to lie to you all day long because all you want to do is have free content forever and ever and ever.
Free content.
Look, we've discussed in the past selling stuff on Wristwatch Review. Like we were talking about making Wristwatch Review watches like the Tolex that you've talked about for a while now. We were talking about making clothing, articles of clothing and apparel and accessories. We were going to do watch straps for a while and we didn't do any of that. And we didn't do any of that because we have integrity.
We also got lazy, but that's not, I
liked my explanation. I felt good about it.
Yeah.
So it's, but as you say, the world is changing, right? Because Hodinkee is selling all this stuff, but they started off doing accessories. Like their first thing was a woven necktie that was a snowflake kind of thing that sort of jived with Tudor's look. They did a snowflake handkerchief kind of thing. And then they grew into the watch sales. So it's been a progression for them. But the whole world is changing, right? We have all of these traditional brands that are now going direct to consumer.
Mm-hmm.
You can buy a Breitling direct to consumer. You can buy a Bucher direct to consumer.
Tesla.
You can buy a Tesla direct to consumer.
Well, yes.
Elon Musk comes to your house, really drops watches, it off.
But okay.
Elon Musk, who the New York Post reported today, has broken up with Grimes.
Oh, no.
I don't know if you guys know that.
What?
The horror.
Yeah, I'm not kidding. I'm actually not kidding.
I'm crushed.
Well,
they seem so good together.
Now, I mean, arguably,
devastating news.
I'm gonna point out that I'm looking at this the Omega the pictures of the Omega Chronoscope Coaxial Master Chronometer Chronograph with tachymeter, telemeter, and pulsometer.
Lot to say.
It's one of the nicest watches out there these days. I'm really into this thing. And next time I meet somebody and I buy one of these and I'm gonna wear it, I'm gonna say, "Why, yes, you're interested in my Omega Speedmaster Chronoscope Coaxial Master Chronometer Chronograph with tachymeter, telemeter, and pulsometer." Why don't I show you a few of its features, and then I will proceed to show off the tachymeter, telemeter, and pulsometer. Oh my God. I don't know. You guys stop me before I go down another freaking rabbit hole. Say something interesting.
Did you see the Omega that was announced? It did nothing for me.
Are we talking about the Omega Speedmaster Chronoscope Coaxial Master Chronometer Chronograph with tachymeter, telemeter, and pulsometer?
Yes, sorry. Yeah, it's a little wacky.
Oh, no.
Why did you bring that back up again?
Let's just keep talking about it.
Do we like it?
I personally, not really. But again, I maybe I'm a boob. Maybe I don't know. But
where's a picture of this complex thing?
Go to Hodinkee and you'll see it. You can actually purchase one for $8,500 as well. So exactly. You can purchase this damn thing. Jack Forrester is writing about the Omega Speedmaster Chronoscope Coaxial Master Chronometer Chronograph with tachymeter, telemeter, and pulsometer. And you go over to the shop, just head on over, and you'll see on page dos, which is Spanish for two, $86.50 right there. Pick it up. Pick yourself up a Speedmaster Chronoscope Coaxial Master Chronometer Chronograph with blue accents.
Right to it from the article.
Links right to it. It's driving me insane.
That's bonkers.
This is complete garbage. Complete garbage.
I don't even like this watch.
I don't mind the face. I like these old fashioned kind of watches. I kind of like the Breitling the Breitling style, like the whatchamacallit, the Navitimer, all that stuff. Yeah, I'm kind of into that. I'm okay with it, but I'm not okay with the rest of this whole thing. It's a complete sellout. It's a goddamn mess.
It is.
Are you all right? Let's
the dial that I object to here is I don't like that the scales, the pulsation scales, the telemeter scale, all of that are written through the subdials. I wish that there was a way that they were a little more clear about that. But I know that's old timey and that they just did that because they didn't care. They weren't really focused on what they were doing. They just kind of printed everything.
Yeah.
But it is there is no integrity here whatsoever.
There's no integrity. No integrity
whatsoever.
You know who's got integrity? We're gonna turn this frown upside down.
John does integrity.
Sure. Apple Inc.
What?
Week, this was the big week. iPhones came out today. Did you guys order? We're ostensibly we're basically an Apple podcast at this point.
No, we are not.
Well, I'd say at least 5% of our time is spent discussing Apple and Apple products.
So quickly, did you order the phone?
No. I personally did not, but I have on for preview purposes at my day job at CR. I've got the Pro Max. I've basically got them all.
You got the line. Did you order a phone?
And there's a watch angle here, too, so we'll get to it in a second.
Are you replacing your phone, John?
No, I'm not. No.
No. Okay. I'm not either. So this is not.
Well, what phones do you guys have?
I got a 12.
Yeah, I got a 12, too. I got the bog standard 12. I didn't even get a Pro Max or whatever.
Yeah. It's a very minor jump from the 12 to the 13. I personally have a 10S, which is from 2018. And the watch angle here is with the 13 Pro, and it's only the Pro, not on the regular ones. There's a new kind of macro photography mode that kind of you just get in real tight on, you know, watches, let's say.
Yeah.
And the photos, layman or whatever, I think they're very good, for just like point and click interface, And I know you could have always attached like a macro lens to any camera phone in the past.
Well, I mean, the clip went away, so you've pretty much got Moment as your good choice left.
I don't know. I will eventually have photos on the Consumer Reports website showing off the macro features that should be published later today. Maybe I'll put a link in the show notes.
All right. Well, did they give you a Series 7 watch?
No. That's not even that's not, that doesn't have
not at least. I bought a new Mac iPad Mini.
That seems strong.
It's not a watch. Well, I did it for a simple reason. I wanted something a little smaller. I wanted to try the new iOS on the iMac on the Mac on the iPad. I wanted to give it a little goose. I haven't. We have a couple iPads floating around the house just because the kids go nuts about them.
Yeah,
or used to go nuts. They don't actually care about him anymore, which is interesting. But I figured maybe I could start reading on it, or I could start playing like Civilization VI or something on there.
Oh yeah,
I don't know.
Joining us is John Gruber, who is of course well known for his writing about Apple, but he's not here to talk about Apple at all.
Well, I could talk about Apple.
So this is our surprise guest. This is the most disjointed podcast. Welcome, John.
It's good to be here.
Yeah.
I'm sorry I'm late.
John, hello. I tried emailing you earlier this week to talk Apple stuff. I'm Nicholas De Leon from Consumer Reports. How are you?
Nicholas, it's good to hear from you.
It is a fun coinkydink, as they say.
Well, the bad news is I haven't read my public email since before the Apple event. So
No worries, sir.
I didn't ignore you specifically.
I don't even mind. I don't mind. You're welcome to ignore me. Thank you.
So what are you wearing on your wrist?
Me right now, I am wearing an Apple Watch because I just got in from running errands and we're back with masks. And so for me, Apple Watch, the primary feature of Apple Watch over the last 6 months is that it unlocks my phone with my mask on while I'm outside. Because I jumped on the betas necessary to enable that as soon as those betas came out and never looked back.
That's an interesting point. Yeah, I'd agree. Yeah, that's why I would wear an Apple Watch. I would also wear an Apple Watch for, I don't know, I guess for working out. But I rarely wear my Apple Watch anymore. How often do you wear your Apple Watch, John?
It ebbs and flows. Again, now that the masks are back and I'm sort of the household's designated errand runner, we live right here in Center City, Philadelphia. So I walk for, I mean, I I can't tell you how many times my car battery died during the pandemic because we don't drive. If I weren't wearing my Apple Watch right now, lately I've been re-in love with my baby, my number one watch, the one that I would save if the house were on fire. It's a 14060M Submariner from 2006. Huh? Which?
The no date, the 14060.
Right. No date and two lines of text. This was my goal. I bought it in 2013 and I decided I wanted the very most recent movement that I could get in the best possible condition, closest to mint, with two lines of text and the Snake S. Although I believe for the models I was looking at, they all had the Snake S in the word Submariner.
Mm-hmm. So this is a very specific fetish. But I get it. So we're looking at it now. It's like, so this thing on eBay now is $9,800. It's a,
I did not pay that. I mean,
I know you did. No, exactly. I as I said before, I bought an Explorer 2 years ago for like 6,000, I think, max it out. Now it's like worth whatever, 10,000. So it's like Bitcoin basically.
Where did you buy yours from, John?
Oh, this is a fun story. This is the first serious watch I bought. And what happened was I've always worn a watch. I've always been a watch person, but never a watch guy. You know, like in high school, mm-hmm. I had like $25 Casio digital watches, which I loved.
Right.
Absolutely loved. And I was always fussy about them. One thing I loved about those Casios, I was really skinny and small in like middle school. I mean, like I've since grown to be kind of tall, but, those Casios back then made like a watch that was not quite the men's size and not the lady size. It was like a mid-size, perfect for like a teenage boy who didn't want to look like he was either wearing his dad's watch or
right.
But fussy about stuff like that. And then for years and years, I wore one of those Swiss Army watches that looks like a field watch, and it literally mm-hmm. has a plastic case, which now that I'm into watches, it's like, what the hell was I thinking? And why would they ever make those watches with a plastic case? But eventually it died. Like it, not like the battery died, but like I'd put a new battery in and a month later it was dead again. And I was like, well, all right, got to look for a watch. I thought, let's get serious about this. But I bought like $100 Citizen field watch looking thing. Victor, I forget if you're the one who said you bought it for your father-in-law.
Yeah, I bought that exact same model for my father-in-law. Yeah.
I like the way it looked, but this was maybe like 2010 or 2011 or so. And I was like, just did like 2 years of like absorption into the whole world that we now spend so much time and money on, and realized, you know what? I started, of course, with a reaction I think a lot of people have, which just like Rolex and Submariners, which is, oh, gross, Submariners are for, you know, car salesman. And mm-hmm. And I was like, no, you know what? The more I learned, I like this company. I like these watches and I like this watch. And then I narrowed in on it. And who I bought it from, bobswatches.com.
Yep.
Which, as somebody who had never bought a watch anywhere near this price, like the most expensive watch I had bought before was $100. It seemed crazy. And literally the name of the site does not inspire confidence.
Come on down to Bob's Watches. We got all the watches for you.
I actually spent, it's like I found this one that looked perfect. It even still had the stickers on the back. And it was like, I was so afraid somebody would scoop it out for me, but I spent like 2 weeks hunting for a single, you know, somebody to tell me Bob's Watches is a scam, and literally could not find one bad word about them. Like nowhere.
You should ask me. Yeah, we could have told you they're fine. They're perfectly fine.
I didn't know anybody.
We know those guys. Yeah. Named
Bob, but other than that,
I didn't have any watch friends at the time who could tell me.
You know, I'm literally the most watchy guy that you know, and I think we've known each other for a few years now. It's a deep, deep, deep insult.
Yeah. Anyway, Bob's Watches is actually excellent and it was amazing service. And I bought it and they couriered it. And like 9 a.m. the next day, it was here from, I think they're in Vegas, ding dong. It was everything I wanted for. And it's been my mm-hmm. favorite watch ever since. And I probably never should have bought a second watch.
What was the second watch that you bought? And where? And keep in mind, you have to like you have to make sure that your address isn't known, because somebody's going to break in and steal your watch collection.
Second watch, years and years went by, and then I fell in love with the Helios brand. I'm sure you guys know. And then, and you know, the way that Jason Lind sells watches is he makes small, you know, talks about them, shows his designs, makes, you know, pre-announces them. They go on sale, limited run. They sell out in like a minute, and that's it. But he announced the C4th, and I was like, oh, that's what I want. I want that. And you know, I'm the sort of person, I have a type, right? Like I got the black dial with the black diver's bezel. But he announced in the interim, he was like, I'm not going to do the C4th yet. I'm going to do the Laguna 2 first. And the Laguna 2 is a sort of, I don't know what you would describe that as. It's a big chunky diver. Again, it is a diver, but it's bigger and chunkier and sort of has a 70s retro vibe to the way the case and the lugs are. And I thought it was way too big for me. I think it's a 43 or I think it's 43 millimeters. And I just thought, well, that's way too big for my wrists, but I couldn't wait. And I was like, to hell with it. I'm just going to buy this before the C4th goes on sale. And I fell in love with it. And that's when I found out, hey, a big watch can look good if it's made right and suits you well. So I've got both. I did buy the original C4th and I have a Laguna too.
It's interesting. Your watch story sounds very similar to mine, John, where it's like, I kind of knew that existed. I wore, you know, I actually had a Skagen quartz watch all throughout high school, which I thought at the time looked like the fanciest watch on the planet. Then I got a phone through college, you know, who really needs a watch? But it was for me, the Apple Watch that kind of like reminded me of like, oh yeah, watches are a thing. And I've known John Biggs. We worked together at Gizmodo and TechCrunch many, many years ago. And I always knew he was into watches. And now I'm reading his watch site with interest. And I'm like, oh, this is kind of cool. So I'm about 2 years, give or take, into my own journey. And yeah, it is funny to go from like not knowing anything to just being like basically obsessed and like, wow, this is kind of cool. So yeah, it's funny here how closely they kind of mirrored.
But are you gonna buy more? Do you think you're buying more?
I'm trying to save for maybe a house or something. But
no,
like,
you don't need a house. What do you need a house for? I
don't need a house.
This whole shelf of things overrated anyway.
Yeah. I think I've said in the past that kind of my grail would be the Grand Seiko Snowflake. I you know, something about it I really enjoy. I don't know. So that would be my first kind of like more than $5,000 watch. I think I have.
I sent you to the Seiko boutique, didn't I?
Yeah, I've been there a couple times in Manhattan. They're they don't know me by name yet, but they're very nice. I think the fanciest one I have, the Seiko Alpinist, the JDM version, which doesn't even have a kanji day, so I don't even know why I got the JDM version. but yeah, I think that's actually the most expensive in my collection. But it's a fun, yeah. I'm here. I'm not going anywhere. So,
and John Gruber, are you completely addicted now? Or are you going to keep going?
I have two others, but I don't love either. Like every one I buy, I love less. So I don't know.
But actually, what you're falling into is a very interesting trap. So you have a really nice one that you love, your Rolex. So the only thing you can really do is go up. So you can only go higher and higher. Right. So you have to eventually like get like some $500,000 FP Journe or whatever, because that's the only way you can like you could scratch that itch. If you buy anything cheaper, it's going to drive you nuts. And if you buy anything similar, you figure, oh, I could trade it or do anything with it. So it doesn't really stick with you. So you're basically sunk.
Yeah. Well, here's the other problem. I know what my Grail watch is. My Grail watch is a red sub. And
like a 1680 with the red Submariner on the
right.
Dial.
And I do prefer no date, but I do love the red. I love the hit of red. And I feel like the hit of red also alleviates my annoyance with the four lines of text instead of two lines of text. I mean, I think I've written this before, but that superlative chronometer, officially certified, whatever the hell it is the four biggest, fanciest words you can think of to say keeps good time. And yeah. What the hell else does Rolex stand for? right? It's the stupidest thing I can imagine. Four big, fancy, highfalutin words that means keeps good time. And everybody knows what Rolex is. It's a high precision watch company and they keep good time. So I hate it. But with the Red Sub, it works. I just, there's something about it. I feel like that would be the one. Like I've never even taken my sub off the bracelet. I love the bracelet, and it's funny because I bought it used, came out from the package from Bob's, fit me perfectly. I mean, I did like the micro adjustment in the clasp, but didn't need to add or remove any links. Sort of just feel like this was meant to be. I would get the Red Sub and probably put it on like a leather strap. And then that would be it. Then I'm done buying it. But the problem is I keep telling myself, you know, achieve some kind of great goal in life, you know, financially success with Daring Fireball, start something new that is actually a success. Yeah. And then that'll be my reward to myself. And as I keep telling myself that, the price of Red Subs.
Just buy it for yourself. You just buy it for yourself and you just put it away.
It's like the price of a pretty decent used car now. Like a nice.
Yeah. Oh, it's a mess. We were talking about authorized dealers. Mm-hmm. And didn't we have some kind of commentary on that, Victor?
Yeah. So John and I were talking earlier today about going to dealer visits. I mean, there's this whole thing that I've been looking into about dealers and the weird restrictions that they place on who can buy a watch from them and who they'll allocate a watch for and wish lists and all of this kind of stuff. And just going into a dealer experience is really weird. You know, if you go into the Panerai shop, they're happy to see you. They talk with you. They're cheerful. They'll show you any watch you want to see. But that's not exactly what happens if you go into Tourneau or Rolex.
Oh, definitely not.
So John, you were in Vegas. Tell me about that.
Yeah. So the family. It was a family trip. Seriously, we just like going. We score like a, you know, don't go to the fanciest place, but you know, splurge a little bit and get a place with a little private pool in the back. We all love the weather.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, that's nice. It's a good way to go.
Right.
You can drive around a little bit.
Yeah, and you know, spend one day, you know, instead of luxuriating in the pool, do some shopping, just get some steps in, go to walk somewhere to lunch up and down the strip. And, you know, I've been to Vegas many times, but we walked up to the Caesars Forum shops where there's a Tourneau. Anybody who's been to Vegas is, you know, it's probably very, very familiar to a lot of people listening to this, but the whole corner of it, like when you're coming in from the strip, at the Tourneau is a Rolex corner inside the Tourneau, and they have a ton of floor space inside the Tourneau, and almost all of the window space that's valuable. And I was curious because I know the shortages that Rolex is going through, and I was shocked because they didn't even have anything in the windows. I mean, like there were no watches in the windows, not just like none of the good watches that I might be interested in looking at, but no watches. And I thought, oh my God, is Rolex leaving Tourneau? And then I like told my wife and son, like, give me, you know, they walked on without me. They knew I was going to go in, but I walked in and like, it looked like the counters were empty too. And not just sparse, but like empty. And there's a security guard standing there. And I said, hey, is Rolex still here? And it was very, you know, I don't know. He's the security guard, but he's like, you have to ask them. And I was like, all right. But there's nobody to ask because there's no one at the counter. And so I just walked up. And then I noticed there were a few watches, all women's watches, a weird collection. But like it honestly looked like they'd been robbed, and like the burglars had maybe like missed a few, you know. And then a woman comes out from behind, and it was super unpleasant. She was sort of like, why, you know, had like a why are you here look on her face. And I just said, hey, are you guys open? And she was like, yes, as though it was the dumbest question I could have asked. And I said, well, is this all the watches you have? And it was maybe like noon, right? It wasn't like early morning, but I thought maybe they start the day late. I don't know. It was like a Tuesday at noon. Maybe they don't open till one, and they were still, maybe they put them away for security's sake at night. And she's like, yes, this is all we have. as though that was a dumb question, you know, like this wasn't normal. And I know for the last few years, it's been hard. You can't get any of the stainless steel models, but the display cases still had watches, right? They just didn't have the steel watches that we like to buy. And I just found it to be such an off-putting experience, not just because they didn't have watches, but because she just sort of seemed to be trying to make me feel like a jerk, which is never the experience I've had in Vegas. Never.
It's interesting. I don't know if you guys saw, but Yahoo Finance, about a month ago, they published a story, you know, the headline is "Why the Rolex Watch Shortage is a Perfect Storm." And they actually got a quote from Rolex, which I don't know how often Rolex speaks to the press. I don't see them too often. But the kicker line was, finally, should be noted that Rolex watches are available exclusively from official retailers who independently manage the allocation of watches to customers. So it kind of sounds like Rolex there is kicking the can to the ADs and say, hey, it's not my fault you can't buy these things. It's, you know, you should talk to them. So yeah. it is, I don't know. It's a wacky world.
I wrote about that quote on Wristwatch Review, and they basically, so first of all, Yahoo Finance got the quote. Rolex headquarters said, because Yahoo asked. Apparently, all you have to do is, you know, Rolex famously never talks to the press, right? That's basically their thing, is they rarely will give a comment on an article. They will feed you information if you're writing about their stuff, if you're lucky, but they won't give you a quote. Yahoo Finance asked and they commented, and it's just bizarre, but that's what they did. They shrugged and they said, sure, Yahoo asked. That's why we gave the quote.
Well, I think their audience is changing. I mean, the fact that we have like you, John, on the show, or you're actually interested in this, like, and Hodinkee to a degree has, we just talked about Hodinkee a minute ago, but they've brought like the secret watch lovers out of the woodwork, and they're realizing that there's a whole new world out there, to sell to, but I don't think they understand how to sell through to that group. And I guess they're using the techniques associated with like Supreme and all those other like hype streetwear brands just to build fascination.
I don't believe it though. I don't believe the all you had to do is ask. I think that the Rolex sport watch situation is spiraling out of Rolex's control. I don't know what exactly is going on, but it's weird because the other thing I noticed, and you know, I left Tourneau and we walked and we went, I don't know if you guys know the Forum Shops, but it's sort of one of those mall designs that's like,
they go on forever.
Well, but there's like three spokes and then a central plaza, and it's the plaza is like Instagram central, 'cause there's like a big fake Roman Caesar's fountain.
And, oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But that central plaza where the three spokes meet is also like, clearly the prime real estate in the Forum Shops. That's where Gucci and Louis Vuitton and Dior and I mean, you name it, is right there. That's where the adorable little Panerai boutique is, which is awesome. And they're so super friendly. I do not have a Panerai, but I'm fascinated by them. But the times I've stopped in, they're, you know, I think you guys were just talking about it, right? That it's a fun, fun, friendly, welcoming place. That's where their shop is. There's now a dedicated Rolex boutique there, right? And now that's different. You can't pass that off and say that the shortage of watches there is because of third-party authorized dealers maybe gray marketing them. And the Rolex boutique there made me think, as soon as I spotted the logo, I thought, oh, they are leaving Tourneau. Because now they have their own boutique. That's why there's no what, but they're just the lady in Tourneau just didn't want to tell that to me. But I walked by there and peeped my head in, and they did have some customers in there, but they had almost no men's watches, period. Just mostly women's watches, and the men's watches they had were all the weird blingy, who God only knows how much they cost, diamonds around the whole bezel,
the platinum day date, right, with the ice blue etched dial, mm-hmm, that no one really wants,
and yeah, you know, weird rainbow colored pearl, mother of pearl watch faces, you know, like
Rainbow Daytona,
but like not even the sort of men's watches I'm used to seeing. And I, you know, in Rolex boutiques over the last 3-4 years, or, you know, I'd say it's like 2018 is really when I first noticed the shortage in the sports watches. But something weird is going on, and I feel like they commented because
you think it's out of their control, that they have no control over it anymore, and they're so like,
The other thing I've heard, maybe it is, and I guess the other thing they wanted to deny was they wanted to deny that it's some sort of strategy on their part. Mm-hmm. And the strategic part that I've heard, and I don't think there's any proof to it. It's just like somebody's spitball idea, but I'm stealing it. I don't know who I'm stealing it from. Sorry. But the idea is that as Tudor is reignited as a brand and seems to be doing pretty well, that they're artificially restricting the production of the Rolex branded stainless steel sport watches to inflate Tudor and let Tudor occupy that space, and then and then sort of elevate Rolex to a even higher super brand. You know, like,
interesting,
you know, that Rolex, maybe a lot of people, you know, famously from the James Bond Casino Royale scene, you know, there's the idea that Omega and Rolex are sort of arch rivals, like the Lakers and the Celtics or the Yankees and the Red Sox. And it's a way that if Tudor occupies the space that Rolex sports watches used to, then Rolex can build their entire brand from the bottom up on top of that, and then sort of elevate the top of Rolex to a level that nobody else really occupies. I don't know if that's true, but it makes some sense. It does the rise of Tudor seems to coincide with the decline in availability of Submariners.
I like that. I like that strategy. I'm glad somebody's thinking about this stuff rather than just knee jerk reacting to things like I do all the time. All right. John, thank you for joining us. This has been a real treat.
Oh, I enjoyed it. I loved your show.
Yeah, oh, well, thank you. Thank you. I'm glad somebody listened. all right. This has been the Our Time podcast. I'm John Biggs.
I'm Victor Marks.
I'm Nicholas DeLeon.
And a very, very special thanks to John Gruber. Daring Fireball, check it out. I'm sure you've seen it. I mean, I don't have to explain what it is. It's probably the best writing on tech and primarily Apple in the world. And he's a really smart dude. All right, thanks for listening. We will see you next week.
Thank you for listening to The Our Time Show, the official podcast of wristwatchreview.com. Feel free to email us at tips@wristwatchreview.com with your feedback and suggestions. And please be sure to visit wristwatchreview.com and wristwatchreview on Instagram for more fun watch content. Have a nice day.